This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Rochester's home for live sports and the best sports talk anywhere. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
You're back in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia, NFL draft analyst at NBC Sports Edge. Thor Nystrom joins us. And Thor, just as Gene's doing a sports center, like, Lance Leopold is going to Kansas. Another connection for you, Thor. Welcome back into the sports bar. How are you, buddy?
Thanks for our new coach. I appreciate that.
Wait, what, why? Like, there have been names at Kansas, Charlie Weiss, you know, Miles. Oh, you had Turnigan. Why are they such a mess, Thor?
How much time we got for this segment? What's interesting here is they're going back to the well that like the Turner Gill thing. You know, sort of a deal here, going back to Buffalo. I thought that the smarter thing for them would have been to hire a guy like Todd Monken and then just, you know, zig when the Big 12 zagging and then do the triple option. Like, you know, against all those, you know, spread offenses, you know, defenses that are designed to stop the spread offenses. You saw Army play Oklahoma, was it year before last, I think, and almost, you know, took them to overtime or whatever. I think that was Kansas's quickest route back. But Mr. Leopold, if you're out there listening, I am wishing you the best of luck. I'm going to be your biggest supporter. If you ever need any help from Thor, you give me a call.
Thor Nystrom, NFL draft analyst, NBC Sports Edge. Thor, overall, looking at last night, I know it's Christmas for you and you pour your heart and soul into this draft and you're excited for everything that goes on last night. Your overall impression of round one, who won the night last night?
So, the biggest winner is Ryan Pace specifically. I think he bought himself at least one more year on that job just for getting Justin Fields. And then the Bears, of course, as well on that line. That was enormous. And they only got that opportunity because of the hubris of the rest of the NFL with regards to Fields. I wrote on Twitter yesterday that Fields' process was the closest thing that it reminded me to Lamar Jackson's in terms of the NFL sticking their head in the sand and refusing to see the truth. Good for Pace, and he lucked out as well. You know, as far as other winners, the Vikings are a team I would toss out. They badly needed a starting left tackle immediately. They trade down to recoup draft picks, in part because they didn't have a round two pick, with the Ngakoue trade, the trade from before. And they pick up three. Now they're in the third round, three or four picks. With all the extra stuff that they picked up, they'd be another one. San Francisco, I thought, greatest smokescreen in NFL history, first of all. And second of all, they made the right call there. Trey Lance absolutely could be a superstar. Mac Jones obviously isn't going to be. Those are a few names off the top of my head.
Well, do the Vegas Raiders or does Mike Mack understand the concept of the draft, Thor? I mean,
he's not very good at it.
No, like if he likes the player, fine, but that's somebody, Thor, you could have maybe gotten the second round, Leatherwood there.
I thought he may have even been available in the third, because teams didn't know what to do with him as far as tackle against interior line. You know, perhaps I think he's got to move inside. In the NFL, which is why I rank him as a third rounder. It's clear that Mayock believes he's going to be a tackle. We'll see. I think next year the Las Vegas fans should. What's the amendment where you could you remove the president from power? Like the 25th Amendment or whatever it is. They should do that just for the Thursday night on Mayock to get him out of there. And then Mayock can draft it. You know, Friday he can draft tonight. He can draft on Saturday. He's actually been pretty good in after the first round. But his first-round pick so far these last 3 years, pretty much all of them have just been, you know, head scratchers to baffling.
Thor, what about the Buffalo Bills at 30? We got Gregory Rousseau, pass rusher out of the U. Want to know what you had on Rousseau heading into last night and how you think the Bills did with that selection there at 30.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting this year, you know, with all the opt-out guys. It was like some of them, you know, once they didn't play the season, and then they come into their process, and it was like, you know, not having played, it didn't affect them whatsoever. And then there was like this angel of death that came for a certain amount of the opt-out guys, where like they kept falling for no reason, right? You know, whether they got hopped by people or you know, just started getting nitpicked during the process or whatever. Rousseau got visited by the angel of death. If you go and look at the mock drafts after 2019, or you know, after the last draft, so you know, the two early ones, you know, I'll have to put out a too early 2022 draft, I guess, you know, coming up here. A year ago, if you would have looked at those right after the draft, Rousseau was top, you know, 6, 7, top 10, and just about all of them, right? And then he just falls down because he didn't play last year. I think it's a good pick by Buffalo. And when Buffalo made it, like, zero problems with it at all. In fact, I rank him 33. So, like, you know, it's like, yeah, okay, yeah, great. But, like, you know, I saw a lot of pessimism about it in the same way I was seeing pessimism for Rousseau during his process. And it's like, at that point, the juice is absolutely worth the squeeze. You know, I mean, like, what he did in the one season at Miami there, like, ridiculous production. And he got run into some of it, you know, where, like, you know, the quarterback would be scrambling. You could basically catch him. But, I mean, that doesn't explain the amount of sacks and the amount of TFLs, you know, that he had that year. He's a skyscraper that bends really well. And so I think a guy like that is going to have a ton of success in the NFL. But he has a little ways to go, of course. But the upside here, the ceiling, it's possible that Buffalo just got, you know, a top 10 talent at the end of the first round. We'll see how the development goes, but he absolutely could be a perennial Pro Bowler.
NFL draft analyst for NBC Sports Edge, Thor Nystrom, our guest here in the sports bar. So, Thor, we're looking ahead to the second round here. Like on your board, there's always great talent here as we start off. Who are some of the top names you think that are still sitting out there that should get gobbled up here right at the beginning?
And there is. You're totally right about that. In fact, I thought more so than, you know, in some other years, more guys had fallen. I'll give you guys something. So Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, the linebacker from I have no idea how that kid didn't get picked last night. No idea whatsoever. I have him as the 12th overall prospect in the class. He's like offensive chat for this class. Oh, I'm sorry if that was me. So he won. Christian Barmore, everyone expected him to go in the first round, the defensive tackle from Alabama. Tevin Jenkins, everyone thought Tevin Jenkins, you know, the offensive, he was the fourth offensive tackle. If Mayock hadn't made that screw up with Leatherwood, ostensibly they would have taken Darisaw. I don't know that Jenkins would have been a fit for the Vikings, but he certainly would have been, you know, in play, you know, as far as that goes. Elijah Moore, he's another one. I have no idea how he didn't get taken yesterday, especially like a guy like Kadarius Toney goes. And just a couple other names for you. Azeez Ojulari, Creed Humphrey, Javonte Williams, who's my RB1, and Trevon Merrick as well are just, you know, some of them I toss out.
Thor, the Bills have a need at tight end, and it's something that Brandon Bean said that they were going to address this offseason. They need to get better at that position. You've got Dawson Knox, you've got Hollister now, and really nothing else. And we've been kind of speculating, like, okay, could they make a trade for a Zach Ertz or an Evan Engram, or is there somebody left? You know, we all are enamored by Pitts, and he might be, you know, one of the best tight ends when it's all said and done ever. Who's left at tight end? Is there anybody that the Bills could target at tight end here through the remainder of the draft?
So in the same way there was the one tight end in the first round, you know, the unicorn fella, there's one tight end that I think, you know, is a second round talent for sure, and that's Freiermuth from Buffalo. I think he's been a little bit underrated during his process because he was in the Pitts class, and so you sort of, you know, pale in comparison to that, but he would have been tight end one in a lot of these, you know, past classes. So, you know, if he's there in round two, like, you know, he's the value range is solid there. The other guy I would toss out is Tommy Tremble, who I love. And I think Buffalo, you know, like, I don't have any information on this, but I would think that he would be a nice fit when you're looking for a guy next to Knox. Tremble's the best blocking, tight end or H-back, however you want to, designate him in the class. Just an absolute mauler. And then he, tested pretty athletic during his pro day workout as well. He didn't get as many balls thrown to him in college, but you have to keep in mind that for the beginning of his career, he was playing with Cole Kmet, who was tight end one in the last class. And then last season, Kmet leaves, but Notre Dame had this kid named Michael Meyer, who's probably going to be the first tight end picked in his class, whenever he comes out. And so that was a part of the reason why Tremble didn't get more targets. But I think he can, I think there's development that can go there, as far as that goes. But, as far as you're blocking anyone in front of you, and you're ragdolling people, that could be a fit for Buffalo.
Thor Nyster, my guest here. Another need for the Buffalo Bills, the corner position, with the Bills picking at the end of the second round. You mentioned some names earlier. Give me some names at the corner position. And what do you think of the corner that we have a little bit of familiarity with from Syracuse, but I always screw his name up, Ifeatu Melifonwu. Melifonwu at the end of the second round, Thor, does that feel about right?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Yeah, and the good thing about the corner, if Buffalo is set on taking one in the second round, I think that is a position that's still deep and is going to be deep through the second round. It's one of those, though, it's very much like tackle, where there's going to be a drop off point. When you're walking out in the lake and all of a sudden it falls off or whatever. There's going to be a point like that tonight at both of those positions. But Buffalo should be safe, as far as for the second round. Just to toss a couple other names at you there, Aaron Robinson, Tyson Campbell from Georgia, Melifonwu, of course, is going to be in play. Trill Williams, I think, is going to get picked tonight. So those guys, those would be the top, corners that I'd be looking at. And certainly not all of those guys are going to get taken before Buffalo.
Hey, Thor, can we look back again at last night and look at some of the other AFC opponents for the Buffalo Bills and how they fared? Let's start with New England. Mac Jones, surprised that Bill Belichick for the first time has taken a quarterback in the first round?
Not necessarily. My joke or my take on Twitter was Mac Jones didn't fall to the Patriots. The Patriots reached to address a glaring quarterback need. That's how I feel about it. I feel that Mac Jones is a late first-round talent. And the smokes, we found out that his profile had only elevated because of Mr. Kyle Shanahan and Mr. John Lynch's chicanery during the process. So, but, as far as at 15, I'm not the biggest Mac fan, but there, that's fine, right? That you're paying a little bit of a premium, whatever, for the position. I'm fine with it, but it's, for Patriots fans that are the guy who was supposed to go three fell to us. It's like, no, the media was used by these two guys. He was never the guy, he was not the third pick. He's not the third prospect, on any board. So I okay pick, but to me, it's not like a, earth shatterer.
The Miami Dolphins, now the decision for them at six to take Waddle over Smith. Your thoughts on that pick? And then they come back with their second pick in the first round and grab Jalen Phillips. Your thoughts on the Miami Dolphins, Thor?
Yeah, I thought taking Waddle over Smith was interesting, but I do understand it where, obviously Miami's receiving corps is bad. But in addition to that, they're bad, but they're also not fits for Tua's game. It's a bunch of these slow guys, slow big guys, jump ball guys downfield. Like the guys, quarterbacks just throw it up, but more like Zach Wilson type receivers maybe. But for Tua, what he loves, it's the guys zipping across the intermediate area. He'll hit you on the hands. You don't have to slow up, slow down. You don't have to reach behind you. He'll hit you on the hands every single time, and that opens up ridiculous yak opportunities. We already know he can do this with Mr. Waddle. So in terms of that, that's a perfect fit for them, I think, and then, brushing the Eagles, they take Devonta. I think on their board, they would have had Devonta over Waddle. So I think it was like half the teams, probably preferred one to the other, and it just would have been a taste thing, but I certainly understand what Miami was doing there. And obviously they're set up pretty well now, the picks that they made last year, the picks that they made, last night. And then they still have a war chest coming. So they're in a nice spot, I think.
What about their offensive line, Thor?
So, yeah, I do expect them to address. One name, of course, I mentioned him before, is Tevin Jenkins. You know, I do think that that's, you know, a position that they could look at for, that they're going to look at tonight. Running back would be interesting too for them, but I think probably their best case scenario at 36 is Jenkins is there. You plug that hole, and then with the, you know, your upcoming picks, I think they're up again at 50. You know, maybe then you look at the running back, you know, or an off-ball linebacker or a safety, because there are going to be plenty of them there as well.
How's Zach Wilson going to play in New York?
For me, I disagreed with that pick. I don't know to be honest with you, but I'll tell you, I think his risk profile is higher than has been sort of depicted, and I don't know that his ceiling. You know, I think his ceiling is probably a little bit lower than has been depicted. My issue with him, I see the throws from last year. You know, I mean, some very impressive stuff, some jaw dropping throws, you know, et cetera. But he was mediocre this season before, thoroughly mediocre. And last season when he had the, you know, the Burrow-like leap, whereas Joe Burrow did it against the nation's best. I mean, they slaughtered LSU that year, slaughtered a procession of the nation's best teams, you know, down the stretch there. Whereas with Wilson, this past season, they BYU played the number 89 SP Plus strength of schedule. And it might have even been a little, that might even be flattering to them. Because, like, for instance, in the bowl game, they played UCF. Richie Grant, who's going to get taken tonight, opted out. Aaron Robinson, their stud corner, who's going to get taken tonight, he opted out. And so, you know, he was facing a secondary of second and third stringers in that game. The way that he played in college, he's not going to be able to do that totally in the NFL. He's going to have to change a lot of things. And especially he's going to have to learn how to sort of, you know, layer the ball and touch the ball in the intermediate area. Because what he loves to do is go bombs away. You know, that's why he gets some of the derisive comps to Johnny Manziel. We'll see if they can teach him, you know, we have to keep the defense honest, Zach, by, you know, you're going to take advantage of spaces that we create in the intermediate area. If you're effective there, it's going to open up the long ball even more. We'll see. I don't know. You know, I haven't seen Zach Wilson play good against a good team in his whole career. I mean, like, if you look at the splits between the good teams that BYU played and the bad teams, they're breathtaking. And people that love, you know, Zach Wilson will be like, well, yeah, sure. But, you know, that was just because, you know, during his Burrow year, there just so happened to be bad opponents on the schedule. And it's like, well, what if the reason that he had the jump was because of the bad opponents?
Well, at least the Jets, though, are addressing the offensive line. Maybe unlike Miami here, Miami could still do that. What are your thoughts on the player they actually traded up for a little bit? Vera Tucker, who I would assume goes in at guard, but at least now they could pair him with Becton, and you're kind of rebuilding here the Jets offensive line. Your thoughts on Vera Tucker at 14, Thor?
Yeah, I like that move. You know, I mean, they, you know, they gave up the, you know, whatever it was, two thirds and another pick to get up there. They paid a hefty price to the Vikings, but Vera Tucker was clearly the number one interior offensive lineman in this class. I hope that they don't have a plan to play him at tackle. That's the one thing I will say. I don't think he can handle tackle in the NFL. He, for the first five games last season of the regular season, they had switched Vera Tucker to left tackle last year, you know, ostensibly to try to improve his draft stock, and he was great during that, you know, those five games. But then they ran into Oregon in the Pac-12 title game, and Kayvon Thibodeau, who's like, you know, he's going to be the, you know, Miles Garrett or Chase Young of next year's class, and he Thibodeau put him in a body bag. Like, it was bad. Multiple sacks, a ton of pressures, etc. USC hadn't played a stud edge rusher those first five games. And so the one time he faces it, you know, an NFL guy, he struggles. But inside, he's going to be great.
Thor Nystrom, NFL draft analyst at NBC Sports Edge. And we know that the action continues tonight. Thor, we want to follow you online on Twitter at ThorKU, ThorKU. What else you got working that we can check out at NBC Sports Edge, Thor?
So right now you can go on. I put up the best day two available right after the thing last night. So you can check that out right now. And actually, my day two mock, the round two is up right now, and round three is going to be up, I'll tell you guys, within about 15 minutes. So my full day two mock then will be up, but you can see round two right now.
Awesome. Thor, really appreciate this. Thanks so much, and you can't wait till our next conversation. Thor, you have a great night.
Always a pleasure to talk to you guys.
Talk to you soon, Thor. Thor Nystrom. Ah, I love Thor. Good old Minnesota boy. Thor Nystrom doing great things in the land of 10,000 locks. NFL draft analyst at NBC Sports said some really smart stuff there.
The Raiders.
Yeah.
He had a third round grade.
Right.
Oh, here it is.
Leatherwood.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, folks.
Leatherwood.
Oh, come on. We need that one.
I mean, is there anybody like it?
Anybody like Leatherwood? We like Leatherwood. We like Leatherwood because he gave us a good story.
That was the one when some unnamed NFL executive asked him, "Are you more of a dog person or a cat person?" He's like, "Well, dogs."
That was all Mayock needed to hear. Yeah, by like, the way, as Mayock heard that, he's like smitten.
What was his quote? Cats are evil or something.
Cats are
like,
demons.
Yeah, cats are demons. That's what it was.
So, but Mayock asked him if he's a dog or a cat person. He's a dog person. First round talent. Okay. I just get the sense that sometimes that Gruden and Mayock aren't very good at it.
No, but the owner there, he's, you know, having himself a meal at P.F. Chang's. He's
special.
All fine with it. Yeah.
Let's get to I'll drink to that next in the sports bar. Some takes on tap, Gino.
Yeah, I've got some well wishes here for Lance Leopold.
I don't.
I get it, but
I mean, you know where you're going, right?
That's what I'm wondering. Like, you could have held out for something better.
Well, I don't want to fault a guy for taking a better job. If he feels like this is a better job, then I guess the ineptitude of this program, yeah, you could just brush that under the rug and say, "Yeah, well, I got a better job than UB." All right. That's great. And if you turn it around, you're a hero. But my God, I can't wait to hear what you have to say about this. And I wanted to take a moment to thank everyone who reached out last night and today to share enthusiasm over the Bears selecting Justin Fields at pick 11. I mean, even Thor just now saying the Bears won last night. The Bears, You know, Ryan Pace, the big winner last night. You know, I think there's a lot that remains to be seen. And somebody shared something with me that I'm going to share with you that just, you know, it gives me just a little bit of pause. It just tempers my enthusiasm a little bit. I'll explain, okay. And you'll have a hard time not agreeing with me. We have some takes on tap next. I'll drink to that in the sports bar next on AM 950 and 95.7 FM, ESPN Rochester.
Stay connected to your favorite stations and discover your next favorite on the Odyssey app, AUDACY.
Odyssey.